I have a serious question for you. May take a few moments to think about it, but when you were a little number, a little person, and somebody asked you what was your favorite subject in school, do you remember what you would say? None? Lunch. Oh, that didn't count. I mean, recess. Okay, we got lunch and recess out of the way. But did you have a favorite subject? And some people, and it's interesting, some people like history, some like math, some like the sciences, some like music and art, the different subjects, which is great. I want you to think, though, personally about which and why did you like that subject? It could be the teacher. You may like this subject. Maybe you didn't understand a lot about that subject. You just liked the teacher. And that's certainly possible. Or maybe you truly did like the subject matter. And if you didn't like a subject, and it could be you didn't like the teacher, or it could be you just didn't understand it and it was frustrating not to be able to understand what you were trying to learn. But what I want to challenge you with tonight is this. Is the Lord Jesus Christ your favorite subject? Is the God of creation your favorite subject? Do you love the teacher? Do you love the subject? That's what I want to talk about tonight, to challenge all of us. And where do we learn about our favorite person, our favorite subject? We learn it in the Word of God. This is not anything new. This is more of a challenge of things you already know. So we're in Psalm 119. And what we first have, we have the subject matter here. But what I want to see is there's a super desire to learn the Word of God. We have to understand that is living and active Word of God. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's able to reveal the thoughts and intents of our heart. And that can be very scary for some people to have that happen. But it does. And we also have verses that tells faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Are we hearing the Word of God? I'm not talking about audibly. I'm talking about deep down inside. When Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let them hear. Are we striving and seeking to know God? Like the psalmist told us in the beginning of Psalm 119. So here we have a subject matter. It's spiritual. It's very, very powerful. It's able to save our souls. Through its promises, it makes us partakers of a divine nature. And we look at it, it's spiritual. We have to have a spiritual teacher. We have to have God teach us. When Jesus was being tempted by Satan, remember, he was led by the Spirit. He was filled by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of Satan. And when he fended off Satan's temptation, he used what? He used the Word of God. Now, he just didn't quote the Word of God. He was living the Word of God. And that's what we want to get to the point. Okay, I can read this. This is a book. But I want to live the Word of God. And living the Word of God requires the Spirit of God to teach us the spiritual aspects of that Word. In other words, what the Spirit of God does to us, it takes us from knowing the Word of God to living the Word of God. That's what the Spirit does. I want to live the Word of God. I just don't want to know it. You know, there's liberals out there who know it, but they don't live it, and they make comment on it. But we as believers want to live that Word of God. So when we say to Satan's temptation, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, we are not just saying it, we are actually living it. And that can only come by being filled with the Spirit. I want you to notice in Psalm 119, verse 33. And I've made mention of this before, but it so takes me back when I read it. I just need to read it again. I need to share it. Teach me, O Yahweh, the way of your statutes, and I shall observe it to the end. Think about that. Now think of These verses are laid in what's called a parallel structure. The parallel structure can be a continuation of thought, or it can be an antithesis of the original thought, first line, or it can fortify the original thought by repeating the same thing but just in different words. So there's three different types of parallelism there. This parallel is a continuous a result of, if God teaches me his statutes, what is the result? The second half of the verse tells you what the result is. I shall keep it or observe it to the end. So if I'm going to keep the word of God, then what is it I'm going to have happen to me? I'm going to have God teach me. I want God to teach me what that verse means. So David recognized it was God who needed to teach him the word. He could read it, but he wanted to live it. And that's a difference. There's a difference here. Now look at verse 34. Give me understanding that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart. We're to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might. And how do we do that? We can only love God that way by the power of the resurrected Christ who causes us to walk in the newness of life. That is the only way we can love God. That is the only way we can learn about God through his word, is by the Spirit of God, which he has given to us. And when he talks about that Spirit, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, and we spoke on this a couple Sundays ago, we need that. We need the resurrection power. And I remind you that Paul said that he wanted to know the power of the resurrection. And what he was talking about, not the resurrection that was coming down the road, it's the resurrection of us from a life of sin into the newness of life, which is living by the power of the Spirit in the living Word of God. That's what we should all desire. God, I can read this and understand it intellectually. I want to read it and be changed spiritually. I want this, all these verses to fortify me in the life of Christ. I have been crucified with Christ, yet it is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. That verse says so much in it. That verse alone should motivate us to totally surrender our lives to God and have him teach us his word. I want to know what that verse means as far as living life. Now notice, he's asking God to teach him in verse 33. He's asking God to give him understanding. Verse 35, and your translation may say, show me, but actually it's a causative stem in the Hebrew, and it reads like this. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Do we actually find our pleasure in reading and studying the Word of God under the tutelage of the Holy Spirit? I kind of gave you a lot of information here. We should. Do we delight in the Word of God? If we find our pleasure in opening that book and having God teach us, how many remember those classes where you were in and that teacher was good? Or some of you in athletics, that coach was really good. And you just loved being there and you loved practicing and you loved reading and talking about that subject matter. You could stay there all day. Do you ever have that educational experience? I didn't have that educational experience until I got to college because I was a dumb punk. But to know God and to sit at the feet of Jesus Christ in the power of his Spirit through his living word, to be taught him that word that's going to give us this newness of life, that should be our desire. Does your spiritual life seem to be kind of stale? And you need to have your soul restored? And you need your faith restored? Maybe you think you got locked into the humdrum of life and you don't sense any power in your life or any change in your life going on. You're not going backwards, but you're not going forward. You're kind of just there and not satisfied with your spiritual growth. And that can happen. You can just be plain, just flat. I want the living Word of God. You know what that living Word is in Hebrew? Hebrews chapter 4? It's energetic. It's living. It's full of energy. And if we're full of the Word of God, what are we going to be full of? The energy of God. I really like that parallel. Nothing better for a weary soul than a shot of the Word of God by the power of the Spirit infusing it into us. So David so delights in the Word of God. He knows it's the truth. And so he wants to live it. And he needs God to teach him, to give him understanding. But at the last word, he just says, God, make me do it. Because there's sometimes that flesh is not going to do it. We turn to, we need to, the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We need to overpower the flesh. That's one of the values in fasting. It teaches you to overpower the flesh and not meet its needs. So with God as our teacher, the one who teaches us, gives us understanding, and makes us walk. That's the kind of desire we as David has. We should have the same thing. I want you to turn over. I'm going to take another set of eight, beginning with verse 97. Let's kind of break this down a little bit. Oh, how I love your law. Right? First statement. Think about it. If you had a Hebrew Bible, that there would be an exclamation point there. There would be an athnach there in the Hebrew Bible. And what an athnach, and they should put them in, commas and punctuation marks are close, but it's the concept, just think about what you just read. How I love your law. Stop, think about it. Now, there are markers that are right in the Hebrew text. They would be good to be in our text, too. But do you love the Word of God? And what does it mean to love God's Word? What does that mean? If you love God's Word, what does it mean? Does it mean I'm going to pick it up and read it because I love it? If you love a person, do you want to spend time with that person? Do you want to know as much as you can about that person? We want to know God. If I love His Word, I'm going to pick it up. I'm going to read it. Even when I don't feel like it. Do you still love people the times you're sick and you don't feel like being around them? Do you still love them? I'd hope so. One of the things that so impressed me, I was witnessing to a couple, and the wife died here a little while ago, and she had been in a hospital bed in Skilled since 2012. And you know, her husband was there every day. And then towards the end, he had kind of gotten, he's 91. They moved their beds together and they held hands. I was so impressed with that. They were married 70 years. 70 years. And they loved each other. Now, I asked him, I talked to him, was it all smooth and everything? He said, no. But the for better for worse thing in sickness and health, they lived that. I was really impressed with that. And I told him, you know, there are so many people today, 70 years, if things get a little rough, they bail. Real love does what is right, regardless of how it feels. We're too driven by our emotions sometimes. I know God wants me to read His Word. I know I can be revived by His Word. I know that it's what I need in my life. I don't feel like it, but I'm going to open it up. I'm going to read one verse. We have to have a little bit of gumption. David says, oh, how I love your word. So what am I going to do? What's the second part of the verse say? We thought a little bit about first part. What's the second part say? It is my meditation. How long? All day. If you really love God's word, you will meditate on it continually through the day. Now I know we all get distracted. I'm not saying that. But there's a desire to every waking moment to be thinking about God. Psalm 1 is so powerful. You know, it says the man who doesn't listen to the sinners, his delight
is in the Word of God, and he meditates on it day and night. And you know what it says the result of that is? He's like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, who bears fruit in its seasons, whose leaves will not wither. Don't we need to be trees? Don't we need at times to be firmly planted? Don't we desire to bear fruit for God? If we're bearing fruit for God, it's coming from meditating on the Word of God, which we love. It gives us reason to love it because it's for our benefit. To spend time in it. And spending time in it, again, it's not just reading it. It's allowing God's Spirit to teach that Word to you so it changes your life. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Verse 98, your commandments make me wiser than my enemies. Now here's wisdom coming from the Word of God. For they are ever with me, or they are mine. The concept, I have embraced the Word of God. I delight in the Word of God. I love the Word of God. It is always with me. It never leaves me. It makes me wiser than my enemies. Look at 99. I have more insight than all my teachers. For your testimonies are, there it is again, my meditation. Insight than more teachers. So, wiser than enemies, more insight than all my teachers, and I'm going to meditate on that Word of God. I'm going to know. I understand more than the aged because I observe your precepts. Wow. So there it is. Wiser than enemies, more understanding. Let me get this right. I have more insight than all my teachers, and I have more understanding than the aged. Now that's not speaking in arrogance. How, if we have allowed the Word of God to permeate and change our lives, it's going to give us those things. It's going to give us wisdom. It's going to give us insight. And it's going to give us understanding. And we can learn a lot. You know, I mentioned Dave Shanks, and we can learn a lot from each other. That's why it's so important to fellowship. What did it say about fellowship in Hebrews? It says that do not forsake yourself fellowshipping with one another, but come together to stimulate or provoke one another to love and good deeds. If I am being changed by the Word of God because I'm studying and meditating on it, I need to share it with you so that the Spirit of life can, the Spirit of God can use it in your life, and the same thing the Spirit of God doing in your life can be used in my life. That's why we're to fellowship with one another. You know, there's no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. Well, I don't have to go to church. I'm saved. I can worship God my own way. If you are forsaking yourself, fellowship with other Christians and worshiping another Christian, you will not grow. You're just deceiving yourself. Okay. I have restrained my, and now this is, listen to what he says here. I have restrained or held back or blocked my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. See that responsibility he's got? I'm not letting my feet carry me to an evil way. I'm not going to let that. He's drawn a line he's not going to cross. And by the power of God, he won't cross it. And why doesn't he want to go the evil way? He'll tell you. Second part, that I might keep your word. The result of me controlling my feet keeps me in your word. Notice 102. I have not turned aside from your ordinances. Why? Second half of 102. Why haven't I turned aside or turned away from your ordinance? For you yourself. There's a double pronoun there. You yourself have taught me. God himself has taught the psalmist his word. Therefore, he will not turn aside from your ordinances. As I read these things, I want God to be my teacher. I want him to teach me. He's told me he'll teach me. You know, you think of what was Jesus' ministry? Teaching. He was teaching all the time. As we read the Gospels, we see the God of heaven sitting in a field on a mountain teaching people, or walking in the street and teaching people.
in sitting down by the way, in teaching people. He was called rabbi. He was called teacher. His students were called disciples. Disciples were ones who wanted to become like the teacher. What an example. Now, as we become more like Christ, are we teaching one another? Again, what God has taught us. If we go through dark and desperate times, can we say with the psalmist in Psalm 23, "Lo, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff have comforted me." Those of us who have gone through those dark times, can we minister to others who are going through those dark times? I would hope we can. Our shared human experiences, and whether victories or failures, are designed to cause each other to grow. Remember what Solomon asked for? He didn't ask for silver or gold or any of that stuff. He was a little, he looked at himself, he said, "God, I don't know how to go out and come in." What that means is, I don't know what I'm doing. And so he asked for wisdom. And what kind of wisdom did he ask for? Wisdom to rule your people. And that wisdom is demonstrated when he shows he has these two women who come to him. They're both prostitutes. It's kind of interesting. One loses her child, you know the story, and he needs to determine which woman is the mother. In all of that, we say, well, what's the wisdom of that? The wisdom of that is, in those days, prostitutes got no justice. They wouldn't even, the king wouldn't even give them any time of day. But Solomon was willing to give justice to the lowest of this culture all the way to the highest of the culture. And what does God want us to do with our local church? Are we to build each other up? Are we to encourage each other? Are we to comfort one another? And the answer is yes. So if we ask God for wisdom, or we ask God to teach us from His Word, with this understanding and this insight, in this teaching that we get from God, it's always meant to build the whole body up. As God does things in our life, we are to build the whole body. We are to build our families. Name someone, whether in our church or outside our church, that does not need any building up. They all do. Notice what he says in 103. How sweet your words are to my taste. Do we think of the taste of the Word of God? And this is an Old Testament kind of thing. It's in the New Testament, where God will hand a scroll to a prophet and he'll eat it. And what that means is he's going to take on, immerse himself in that Word, and it's going to come back out of him. It's kind of like eating food and getting energy from the food. It's eating the Word of God, getting energy from the Word of God, and then carrying on the ministry of God. Jesus said what when he prayed in the garden for us? He said, sanctify them in truth. Thy Word is truth. Did Jesus eat the Word of God? Remember what he said, I have food that you don't know about? That's that spiritual connection that he has with the Father. Jesus fed on the Word of God. He was sanctified by, in truth, the Word of God. And what did it do? It came out. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He demonstrated that. And we knew, as we look at his life, the power of the Word of God working in him, the Savior, was clearly seen. How sweet are your words to my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey in my mouth. From your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. I often wonder, have we become desensitized to the sin around us? And I ask this question often of people. I ask it of myself. Am I desensitized? How evil is the world? How evil are people? How bad is sin? We always use the comparison in the flood. Every man, every thought of every man was evil continually. I don't even know what that is. That's pretty bad. every man evil continual. That's the kind of world we're living in, but we can become very desensitized to it. But if from your precepts I get understanding, what are you going to see? You're just going to see how bad the world is. Now, that's not to discourage us. That's to empower us to witness to lost friends and family. It is to look at the world Jesus came into. Talk of, here's a holy God coming into the world and letting sinners actually touch him. You know, now we're not holy, so we, you know, people touch us, we might get a little excited, but Jesus let sinners touch him. And he ate with sinners. And he witnessed to sinners. And I must go to Samaria. I needed to talk to this woman who's a sinner. And you know what? The disciples, kind of interesting at that time with their whole thing, is what are you wasting your time with this person for? You know, he had to send them away, get them out of there. They weren't any help to him at that point. So, I'm going to jump over one more section, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Is it? Is it really a lamp to your feet? Or are we stumbling around in darkness? Do we love the Word of God? Do we love it to the point where we're meditating on all day and night? Do we realize that God needs to teach us? His Word needs to become part of who we are. Now, human responsibility is not going to let my feet take me to the evil way so that I can keep your Word. I'm going to be proactive. I'm going to be a intentional Christian is a term they use today. An intentional Christian. Are we intentional Christians? Am I picking up the Word of God when I don't feel like it? And just reading it. Lord, I don't feel like reading your Word today, but I'm opening it up to Psalm 109 and I'm going to read it. Teach me, Lord. And you know what will happen? The Spirit of God just may calm your heart and you may find yourself meditating on the Word of God. But if we fold her up and we don't ever look at it, and I'm talking about more than just looking at it. I'm talking about allowing the Spirit of God to move in your life. I want to finish with a book out of the book of Ezra, chapter 7. I'd like you to turn there. This is a verse that means a lot. To me, but it should, it's one that should mean a lot to you also. This is Ezra 7, verse 10. Now, Ezra was a leader in Israel, and he had a responsibility. But we are also leaders in our families, maybe a leader at our workplace. We're leaders. And this is what a leader does. For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of God. Now, I want that study, I want to emphasize that word. That word is to study with intensity, to investigate. You ever get interested in a subject, so you investigate that subject, and the next thing you know, a couple hours have gone by. Man, where did time go? You know, you're really emphasizing, getting into that subject. That's what that Hebrew word means. It's you seek with intensity. So he's going to seek out the law of God. He's going to seek out the teacher, which is God, just like David was. So we're going to seek the Word of God. And now what's the next thing he wants to do? He's going to study it. Then what's he going to do? He's going to do it. He's going to practice it. I'm going to study the Word of God. I'm going to put effort into the study, and then I'm going to do the Word of God, and then the last thing he's going to do is what? Teach it. Don't ever get those things mixed up. Do them, or study it, do it, and then teach it. Don't tell other people what to do if you haven't lived it yourself. And that's what Ezra, and Ezra is a great example of what we should be. I think of fathers who are to be leaders in their home and instruct their children. Are we seeking the Word of God? Are we investigating it? And then are we doing it so we can be a good role model to our own children? Are our Sunday school teachers really seeking out the Word of God, diligently seeking it, and doing it so we can be effective teachers as we teach those who are put under care? I know Donnie, Mike, and I think about this all the time because we know we're under a microscope. The concept, we need to study this book. And again, it's not to gain just information. It's to gain a changed life. So that's my challenge for all, this is myself included. Delight yourself in the Word of God. Ask God to be your teacher, to give you understanding, to make you do it, so that we live the Word of God. He's given us everything we need. We have the Word, we have the Spirit, and we have each other. And we need to avail ourselves to each of those. As we study, as we share, as we fellowship, we need to know the Word of God. We need to live the Word of God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. You've given our living Word. We have it. We have all these resources today. Many, many devotionals. Many, many things about the Bible. And Lord, there are times we do meditate and we think on it and we pray about it. There are times we do that. But then, Lord, there are other times we don't. And for various reasons, maybe we're tired, maybe we're weary, or maybe we're preoccupied with other things. Help us to be intentional. Let us know what it's like to be taught by you, or remind us what it's like to be taught by you. As you, the mighty teacher, the one who gives us wisdom over our enemies, the one who gives us insight over our teachers, and the one who gives us understanding over the aged. That whatever we say and whatever we do will be a reflection of Jesus Christ, who loved us and died for us. Help us to know the real meaning of "From I have been crucified with Christ, yet it is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me." Thank you, Lord, for all your rich blessings. And may our church with one voice praise you by meditating on your Word, bringing glory to you in all that we do and say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us stand. May the God of grace go with each of us, giving us clear spiritual insight for this week, giving us opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, all to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good evening, and God bless you all.